Father, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And he was told that when the church was being built, a workman fell from a high scaffold. His co-workers, they rushed down. They expected to find him dead. But to their surprise and joy, he was alive and only had slight injuries. How did he survive? Well, a flock of sheep were passing beneath the tower at the time, and he landed on top of a lamb. The lamb broke his fall and was crushed to death, but the man was saved. To commemorate the miraculous escape, somebody then carved a lamb on the tower at the exact height from which the workman fell. As that mentions the lamb, our reading this morning refers to the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist described Jesus twice as a Lamb of God. And it's a term that we know, we hear, and we use quite regularly ourselves. But they're the only two times it actually appears in the Bible. And when John says this the second time to two of his disciples, they turn and they follow Jesus. Now, I think perhaps in some respects that these are rather strange words for us in the 21st century. But certainly for the average Jew in the first century, they wouldn't have been. So what does the expression Lamb of God have meant to the first century Jew? Well, I think it probably refers to two views. The first one would have been the regular temple lamb offering, or the atoning a sacrifice that the Jews made in the temple. And it was something they did because it was prescribed for them in the Torah, or the Jewish law. And we can read all about that in the book of Leviticus. And the second, in which the term Lamb of God would have been a reference, would have been the Passover lamb. And Passover was the annual celebration when the Jews remembered how God had delivered them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And the story of Exodus is told in the first 12 chapters of the book of Exodus. Around about 1500 BC, God called Moses to lead the Jews out of Egypt. But the Pharaoh steadfastly refused to let them leave. So God sent 10 plagues. And after the 10th plague, it was then that the Jews particularly remembered at Passover. Because the 10th plague was when God sent the angel of death to destroy all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. However, the angel of death passed over, and that is where we get the word Passover, those Jewish households where the blood of a lamb, without blemish, had been sprinkled on the door lintels. Now, my Bible commentary, the one that I showed you all a couple of weeks ago, it puts it like this. In every household in Egypt that night, there was either a dead lamb or a dead firstborn. And it was only after this 10th plague that the Pharaoh allowed the Jews to leave Egypt. God commanded the Jews to celebrate this act of salvation from Egypt by holding a festival each year, which they called the Feast of the Passover. And in that festival, each Jewish household was to sacrifice a lamb without blemish each year during the Feast of the Passover. And that lamb was known as the Passover lamb. So when John referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, I think John was actually saying three things about Jesus. The first one is as the Passover lamb was to be a lamb without blemish. So Jesus was a lamb without blemish. His was a life of spotless purity. He had no sin. He was a man who had no sin of his own to atone for. And secondly, the lamb offered protection. The blood of the lamb protected the Jewish households from the wrath of the angel of death back in Egypt. And so Jesus, the Lamb of God, offers us protection from the effects of our sin, which ultimately lead to separation from God or eternal death. And the Lamb was sacrificed for guilt that wasn't his own. As a Passover lamb during that 10th plague in Egypt died in place of the firstborn, so Jesus died in our place for our sins. As John the Baptist put it, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Passover lamb, however, was slaughtered annually, whereas Jesus, the Lamb of God, would die once and for all to deal with the sin of the world. And it's, I think, very interesting as well that this imagery of Jesus as the Lamb of God, it's again very poignant in the fact that Jesus actually died at Passover. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was killed only once, and we all remember his death at Easter. After that, no further sacrifice was needed. And the writer of the book of Hebrews put it like this in Hebrews 10, 27, 28. Just as man is destined to once to die, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And in a similar vein, the Apostle John also wrote, and this is in 1 John 1, 7, for those that like the actual reference, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So what actually, though, does this mean to us in the 21st century? We know what it means for the first century Jew. Well, I believe our response should be, and if we carried on reading a few more verses, we would have found out that one of the two disciples that went to follow Jesus was Andrew. And I think our response should be like that of St. Andrew. Because in the gospel passage, we hear that, we understand that Jesus, once he understood that Jesus was the Lamb of God, he left John the Baptist and he followed Jesus. And again, if we read on a little bit further, he then brought his brother Peter to Jesus. So in other words, Andrew was the first missionary. And if we really believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God, then this will change the way that we live. And we will want to bring him or bring others to him. So in conclusion, every Christian has a vocation. God has called each one of us to do a role in his church. When Jesus invites us to come and see, he is welcoming us into a life that is abundant with meaning and purpose. He's not necessarily inviting us into a life free from conflict or turmoil, though. And Andrew understands John's calling of Jesus to be the Lamb of God as a synonym of the word the Messiah. And that would have been in, again, moving on slightly, in verse 41. And there when we come to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ sent from God, it doesn't really matter where he sends us or where we go, what the place is that, where he actually sends us. He may take us to a natural disaster, could be perhaps somewhere where we've had, for example, the floods in this country, or maybe the forest fires in Australia. He might lead us to be part of a demonstration, like the climate change demonstrations we had last year in London. Or maybe we may be taken on a mission trip. He may do something different, like send us to a classroom, or to a community, or have to go to a neighbor's house, or maybe to a hospital. Things that we all do here in this church. But what matters most is that we go at the direction of Jesus and we stay with him. Because you see, the Lamb that we follow is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one who calls us to himself and the one whose presence transforms our lives. So let's go with him and stay with him. Let us pray. Most loving Father, we give thanks for your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Set us free from the bondage of our sins and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.